This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to The Strang Report. It's the podcast to inspire you to encounter the power of the Holy Spirit. And those of us who are Pentecostal and charismatic, we know what it's like to be in a service with the anointing, to feel the touch of the Holy Spirit. We know what it is to have Christ lift the burden of our sins. But, you know, the power of the Holy Spirit is a lot more than that. We believe that we're victorious by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. We believe that we're more than conquerors. We believe that we can defeat the enemy. And in these very, very difficult times that our country is in, the Christian community, and especially the Spirit-filled community, needs to stand up and take our authority in Christ. And yesterday, I started a very interesting podcast, an interview between me and Dr. James Dobson, and we talked about what is happening in this country and how urgent this upcoming election is. If you didn't hear it, you really need to check it out on the Charisma Podcast Network. They're all in order. It's the one that we posted yesterday. And of course, we had a newsletter to go with it, an article on our charismamag.com website by Dr. Dobson articulating very, very well what was said in the podcast. And now I'm going to run the rest of the interview, in which we talk about the attacks on religious freedom. And of course, I'll be writing about that in my newsletter, The Strang Report. And if you don't subscribe, we just made a new landing page, makes it very easy to subscribe. It's free. It's called thestrangreportsub.com. So I encourage you to do that. Now stay tuned for this very, very important interview between me and Dr. James Dobson.
Welcome to The Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Welcome back, and this is the conclusion of the interview I had. It was about an hour long, so we were able to break it into two parts because really we focused on different aspects. And so this picks up where we left off and where we started talking about the importance of our religious freedom and how we're seeing it erode right before our eyes. This issue of religious liberty is important to me personally because my family, the Strangs, were French Huguenots who came to America for religious freedom. And that was 1688, a long time ago, even before our country was formed. And to see it slipping away now is something very, very concerning to me. You know, we've talked about this and talked very little about Donald Trump. You know, I've said in other media interviews that to me, the book is as much about God and his plans and purposes and what's going on spiritually as it is about Donald Trump. You know, this is not really about Donald Trump. And, you know, God could raise someone else up, but he has raised up Donald Trump like Cyrus, I believe. You know, other people have said that more eloquently than I have, but I write about it in my book that God used in fact, I was a Ted Cruz supporter to begin with.
So was I, Steve.
And I stumbled over some of the things about Donald Trump, the three marriages. I'm very much against gambling. Personally, and of course, he made a lot of his money. That was kind of a bone in my throat. You know, I wasn't at all happy with Hillary Clinton, of course, but when Christian ministers pointed out that God raised up Cyrus, Isaiah chapter 45, he said, "I have called you even though you do not know me." And I thought, you know what? If God could use a pagan Persian king for his plans and purposes, I think he could use a New York businessman for his plans and purposes. And that just, you know, it's a small thing, but it's kind of what got me over the hurdle. And then, of course, as I began to get to know him, in fact, in God, Trump, and the 2020 election, there's a whole section and a couple of chapters on who is Donald Trump really like, with chapters like promises made, promises kept. And I've interviewed people who know Donald Trump much better than I do and got some inside information, like he plays chess with Barron, you know, kinds of things you don't see in the press. I think he's a nice guy. I was very impressed when I met him personally. But you know what? This, like you said earlier, this is not about personality. It's about the issues. I guess I was just saying it's not all about Donald Trump. It's not. And I know, and we all should know, like a well-known Christian leader said, the kingdom of God is not going to come in on Air Force One. We cannot look to our president. The church has to be the church. But Donald Trump affects the direction of our country. The Bible tells us to pray for godly leaders so we can live quiet and peaceful lives and serve God and raise our kids in the right way. If the left gets in, we can't even, you know, they're already indoctrinating the children in school. And now I understand there's a bill in California where the government will actually pay for hormone suppressing drugs so that children who want to suppress their hormones as they get to puberty can do so. I mean, that is child abuse. And the fact that our children would have to grow up in that kind of thing, the history they're taught, they're not taught about Christian history. They're not even talked about our founding fathers.
Steve, that one thing that you just mentioned alarms me more than all the other issues, and there are a lot of them, including our military and many other things. But what we're doing to this next generation really does stick in my throat. Those innocent children are too young to know that they're being manipulated. They're too young to even question what they're told. You take 5, 6, 7-year-olds and tell them that Santa Claus can go down every chimney in the world overnight. They believe it. They believe what adults tell them. And we're manipulating these kids. We're warping them. We're destroying them. And parents are sitting around letting that happen. Boy, my advice to parents is get them out of there.
I agree. And my grandson is in a good evangelical Christian school. And so, you know, in that sense, I feel like we've dodged a bullet. But it's not just about my grandson. It's about everyone's children and everyone's grandchildren. And, you know, I personally believe that Donald Trump is going to win for a number of reasons. One is there's been a number of prophecies going back to 07 and 08. They're the same people that prophesied he'd win in 2016. I have to believe, or at least I have to hope, that they're right. But I also believe that Americans are not ready to let the mob rule. Even a lot of people who tend to be liberal, or maybe they vote Democrat most years, I think they're going to end up voting for Donald Trump. However, there is no certainty. We cannot be complacent. We cannot be complacent. We have to believe that we're going to lose by one vote, and we've got to do everything to eliminate that happening. I really believe that. And I think it comes down to the Christian community. It really comes down, and we've got to pray that pastors wake up. You know, there's a law that that churches cannot endorse a candidate. So what? My company, other than the fact we're in media, which is a little bit different, but companies don't endorse candidates. But hey, the pastor can get up in the pulpit and say, I have a responsibility for God to teach you the right way to live. And this party or this candidate believes, you know, in taking the life of an unborn child right up to the moment or even after birth. This party believes that a man and a woman can be married. And those are just the two most obvious. This other candidate over here believes respects life. There's nothing wrong with that. The pastor can even say, as your pastor, I'm going to tell you how I'm voting. That is very different than the church endorsing someone. Yet that Johnson Amendment, which, by the way, Donald Trump, I write about this in some length in God, Trump, in the 2020 election, he's working to get rid of the Johnson Amendment, and I've never even heard of another politician talking about it, let alone doing anything about it. And they're working in Congress to overturn the law. That's what we need. Right now, President Trump has done an executive order, but that's only as good as he's as long as he's in office, and then the next guy can change it back if he wants to. And I think if the other side gets in, they'll not only change it back, but they'll come back with a vengeance. They'll come after churches.
They'll
look for any little
thing. No doubt about it. You know, Steve, there's several reasons that I'm optimistic about this election. One of them is that I know a lot about women. I've studied them, I've counseled them, I've written about women. And if there's one thing I know about nearly all women is that security is extremely important to them because of their children, because of the maternal aspect. And I do not believe that they're going to go into the polling booth and vote for somebody who would be in favor of the chaos that's occurring on the streets, the robbing, killing, all the things that are taking place in Seattle and other places. I don't believe women, they talk a lot about suburban women not being for Trump. When it comes right down to it, I do not believe they will support for what's happening now. The second thing is what you mentioned earlier having to do with prophecy. People will scoff at this, but I, like you, believe God raised him up. There's no way Hillary would have lost. There's no way that she was not going to win. But he won against unbelievable odds. He was like David going against Goliath. And everybody mocked him every way they could and said there was no way he could get enough electoral votes. But he won. And that is, I believe, because God wanted him in that job, in that place at that time. And I'm hopeful that he wants to finish that thing that he has started.
I agree with you. And in other settings, I've said that even with some of these governors that have shut down churches and stuff, we need to vote those people out of office for that, if nothing else. That cannot be tolerated. And if we punish these people at the polls with a loss, it will really turn the tide in a very significant way. If they win elections or they win in spite of it. In fact, there's reason to believe that some of these Democratic governors who have been unusually harsh against the church are actually punishing the Christians because they have reason to believe that most of the people that go to the church voted for their opponent. And I mean, you know, this is politics, and politics is a contact sport, as they say. But, you know, we can't be passive. We've got to go. I'm going to start my own campaign of publicizing the ones who are most egregious in sense of persecuting the Christians. And we need to try to get them out of office. There's a lot of things at stake with this election. It starts with President Trump. I'm going to do everything I can, and I appreciate you coming on my podcast to articulate your point of view because you are so well-respected, and at the point of sounding like I'm speaking hyperbole and I don't really mean to be flattering you, you know, now that Billy Graham is in heaven, you're probably the most influential evangelical in the country, and I think that people should take heed to what you have to say. I know that they do, and I so admire you. You know, it'd be easy for you at this stage in life to just be quiet and just, you know, do the kinds of things you have to do to have a successful ministry. But boy, you're sticking your neck out even to talk like this. I know you're doing it as a private citizen, and I applaud you for it. And I hope that other leaders are inspired by your example.
I know I'm motivated by the same thing you are. We've been given a voice, and we're going to stand before the Lord someday, and for me, it's not going to be too long, and have to give an account for what I did with the resources that we had and the opportunity to speak in radio and television and wherever I can. And I'm accountable for that. I don't care what happens in my little world. That's not what matters. What matters is that we're accountable to God Almighty. And I appreciate the words that you spoke. They're very kind. That's a hyperbole, but you are very gracious. And I have such great respect for you and what you do and what you publish and what you say. So it's a great friendship and a collegiality that is valuable to me.
Well, thank you. And I thank you for the opportunity. Not very often am I interviewed, especially on my own media. So this was kind of fun in a way. And I'll just put a little plug for my listeners that my books are available really wherever books are sold online or in stores. But they can also come to my website, which is called stevestrangbooks.com, and get an autographed copy. And having done that little commercial now, I'd like to wrap up.
Well, let me expand the commercial, because I have another book of yours in my hand. And this one is more recent. It's called God, Trump, and COVID-19. And this is a very small book, but man, it is powerful. And you're talking about what has happened and how it's affected the Christian community. I wish we could spend our last 5 minutes. We've just got a little while left to go, but talking about that second book.
Well, thank you. It picks up where the other one left off. I was very aware not to repeat myself. I only wrote the book in about 3 weeks during April, when during the COVID-19 shutdown, and I felt that the whole COVID-19 thing has thrown the election a curve. Number one, the economy has sort of tanked, even though it's bouncing back. But we talked about that earlier. Number two, the other side, they're Democrats, but anybody who knows me knows that for 20 years I was a Democrat, and until the party moved so far left, I couldn't be a part of it. But down here in the South, there was a time when all the elections, the main elections, were decided in the Democratic primary. But having said that, they've done everything they've thrown everything, including a complete hoax about Russian interference in the election, which was totally discredited, completely discredited. And that didn't work. So then they did the impeachment. That didn't work. Of course, there were a lot of little things along the way. And then suddenly, out of the blue, and I have to believe that the enemy of our soul, Satan, and demonic forces were behind this thing, that a pandemic that nobody expected. No president in history has had to, no president, at least in the last 100 years since Woodrow Wilson, has had to deal with a pandemic like this, and they've just latched onto it. When it first came out, when I first heard about it, it sounded like SARS. Remember that? That came out of China, too. It was bad, but it wasn't that bad. This is much worse, and for a while, and I go into this in the book, we thought it was going to be like the bubonic plague. They were some of these so-called medical experts were saying 2 million Americans would die. We just didn't know. We didn't really know how it was spread. They keep changing their mind. Everybody who follows the news knows that. And now they're stringing it out. They're going to string it out all the way up to the election, especially in Democratic-controlled states. And Nancy Pelosi is calling it the Trump virus. How is it the Trump virus? It came from China. He shut down the borders, and Nancy Pelosi was in Chinatown showing her solidarity in a politically correct way with the Chinese people. One of the politicians in Italy was so politically correct when it first started. He said, go up and hug. If you see someone who looks Asian, go up and hug them. Well, we all know what happened in Italy. And it was just a matter of days until he quit saying that. These are just examples of some of the crazy, crazy things. And I talk about it. Of course, when I finished the book in May, George Floyd had not been killed. And no American, in fact, I had the privilege of being on the BBC to talk about the evangelical point of view. I said, no sane American thinks that officer was right. Sometimes when there's violence, it's like, is the guy coming for my gun or something like that? Is it self-defense? But there was not a shred of that. However, there are forces in America that fundamentally want to change our government, our way of life, our Judeo-Christian values, and they were just waiting for a match to go into the barrel of gunpowder and explode.
I think that explosion was planned a long time ago and they were looking for an excuse. I'm not minimizing the killing of George Floyd, but it's gone far beyond that. Now it's violence for the sake of violence.
Oh, of course.
We're almost out of time, Steve. I want to read something from your book, and it's a great place to end this two-day discussion. You quote somebody named Kevin Jessup. He's the president of Global Strategic Alliance. And I don't know him, but I like what he wrote. And this gives us hope. He believes that tsunami of the Holy Spirit is beginning to flow, beginning with it overwhelming, bringing with it overwhelming fruit, dreams, visions, signs, wonders, miracles, and all manner of spiritual gifts. One more paragraph. We're on the verge of the greatest move of God in all the ages. This outpouring will sweep multitudes into the kingdom of God as they are saved, healed, and delivered. Spiritual leaders from around the world are sensing this wave. The sovereign move of God is rising through the power of the Holy Spirit. I think that's fantastic.
And that's why I put it in the book. And, you know, we need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. We can't do it in our own. The Holy Spirit will quicken our spirits, will open our eyes to be discerning, to see what's going on, will give us boldness. You know, just think how bold the early Christians were to stand up against Rome, which was as bad or worse than the communists that we see today. I mean, they fed Christians to lions. That's a whole lot worse than not being able to sing in church in California. The Holy Spirit will give us boldness and give us power. As you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. I believe that we have victory over the enemy. I believe that God is sovereign. He's going to win in the end. But, you know, he's left a lot of this to our own choice. And we all make bad mistakes as people, as cultures. And we have to be light in darkness. And, you know, sometimes I feel like my light is pretty small. But you know what? You take a small light into a cave. And the darker it is, the brighter the light is. And each of us in our own sphere of influence, you know, people who are listening do not have media ministries like you and I do, but everybody has a sphere of influence, whether it's their own family, an extended family, their neighborhood, their church, their workplace. We all can influence people, and we need to be light in darkness.
Well, I want to thank you for writing these two books. Let me remind people of what the titles are: God, Trump, and the 2020 Election, Why He Must Win and What's at Stake for Christians If He Loses, Stephen Strang. The other book is God, Trump, and COVID-19, How the Pandemic is Affecting Christians, the World, and America's 2020 Election, also by Stephen Strang. Thank you for the work that went into this and for inviting me to be on your show to talk about you.
Well, thank you. Hopefully we talked about bigger issues. This is not about me. It's not about selling a few books. It's about trying to get the word out. And words on paper is one way to do it. Podcasts, radio programs, television. There's different ways. Of course, the internet, different ways. And as we wrap up this, I want to just thank you for being on my podcast today. And would you close in prayer? And at the end of the prayer,
I would love to do that. Podcast. Heavenly Father, you've heard this conversation. You know our hearts. You know that we have no motives other than to serve you and for you to be pleased with what we do. Even these books that we've talked about today and the books that I've written are our way to get the word out that we believe came from your word, and that's the ultimate source. Lord, we love you. We love this country. My heart aches for what's happening to us and what's looming out there. I pray that this election will be according to your will. if it is your will that America make a radical turn to the left, and then you have your own plans about what you do about that, maybe even the second coming, maybe even the rapture, we are ready and we yield to you. But Lord, if it be thy will, preserve this great country that you've blessed in such dramatic ways. And we give you praise for inspiring the founding fathers to write the Constitution and give us the freedom that we have. I thank you for Stephen Strang. I thank you for his love for you and his consistent stand. And I just pray that you will take these words and use them for your own purposes. And in thy name we ask it. Amen.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.